new faces. So I hope that everyone has been faring well in these very new and interesting and intense and downright bizarre times. A good friend of mine, Grace Fisher, she leads the women's group at Spirit Rock on Thursday mornings. And so I joined that group via Zoom last week, and she was talking about deep listening. And she asked us, basically, you know, how is it right now? You know, how is it really right now? And so when I go in with that reflection, you know, what has been coming up for me is this this sense of juxtaposition, right? Where we're having, at least for me, you know, here I am sheltering in place. And I know that a lot of us are going through it. And at the same time, you know, it's a very peaceful time. You know, I don't have to commute. I'm spending more time with my family, resuming with family, and I'm talking to friends I haven't talked to in some time. And all I have is, you know, when we go out to nature, you know, we're earthing. And it's kind of a time of just practice, you know, so there's that. And at the same time, there's this sense of, you know, there is suffering. Suffering is never too far away. It's never too far away from the heart. Seems to always be just not too far away. And I was speaking to my partner about this, and she was like, well, isn't it always like that? Isn't it always this way? You know, whether we're out with friends and enjoying dinner or drinks or whatever, there's still human trafficking. You know, there's still, you know, violence and war and poverty and whatever it is, climate change, you know, it's always like this. Is what she sort of pointed me to. And so how do we cultivate equanimity, you know, in these times or at any time? And I thought that I would talk about that last month, which was the last time, the first time that we went online with this group. And I really just wanted to spend that time checking in with folks. And I mentioned gratitude as just something to think about, you know, what are the things that we are grateful for? And I remember, Carl, and I don't know if things have changed for you over the weeks, but Carl had mentioned that, you know, how can we touch into gratitude? You know, at the time there was a lot of difficulty arising, or some challenges were arising. And so I thought I would go a little more deeper in how we can use gratitude to cultivate equanimity, a greater sense of equanimity. So I don't even have to talk about you know, all of what's happening, you know, including politics. And, you know, we're living in a very intense time. And now I can say that, you know, I used to say, oh, you know, it's always like this in some way, shape, or form throughout the eons. But this is, you know, I think it's a very unique time of intensity, of intensified objects, of intensified experience. So with all of what's going on, And some of you have heard me say this before, and yet, the world is a sacred place, right? This life is a sacred life. It's a sacred realm that we are in, that we are sharing. And, you know, what are we experiencing? I don't know. You know, it's a mystery to us. And that's what makes it a miracle. This miracle that we are in. And it's really a privilege. Whatever it is, we think we know that it's a privilege to be alive. We certainly, most of us don't want our lives to end anytime soon. In this rare life. So even in these times, can we touch into some sense of gratitude and compassion to help cultivate more ease and equanimity in this intensity? And so what does it mean to be walking, moving around within the sacred, living within the sacred? You know, what does that mean to be connecting, interacting, impacting within this sacredness that we call our lives? I don't know if folks know Amachi. She's a guru. She's an Indian, a Hindu teacher. And she says, we're kind of in a collective ICU right now. And she says, I see you like that. We're in the collective ICU. And she says, it's a time for reflection. It's a time for practice. And so where is the temple? Where is the temple? Everything's closed. And I don't know about you, but I'm kind of experiencing this lucidity. You know, I feel very lucid. It's almost dreamlike. You know, when I look around, you know, it's a very interesting time. So when we think about the sacred, you know, is our practice connected to spirituality or the spiritual realm? And what is spirituality? You know, what is that? Our spirituality is where we find meaning in this life, right? It's where we find connection. It encompasses matters that we believe are, that we perceive as concerning the spirit, our personal growth, our experiences in this sacred realm. It represents our deepest values by which we live. And our spirituality is a personal thing. It's deeply personal. So it's not necessarily connected to any religion. It's just our personal, whatever it means to us. So we honor what happens here in this sacred realm. We honor our suffering. We honor the whole experience. It's okay to honor suffering. It's okay to honor challenges and difficulties. And so what we're doing just by arriving, just by engaging this practice with a willingness to open to what's here is sacred. And sometimes I call it warrior's work because it's not easy. It's not always easy. Waking up to, turning toward, being with, all of it. It's not always easy. So how is gratitude related? There's a quote by Jack Kornfield, one of my teachers, where he talks about in some Buddhist traditions, there's a prayer that one makes, of the universe, kind of an unusual request of the universe. Bring me challenges and obstacles. And so he says, in certain temples that I've been to, there's actually a prayer that you make asking for difficulties. May I be given the appropriate difficulty so that my heart can truly open with compassion. I don't know if folks know, there's a story about there's an ascetic named Sumedha. Sumedha was actually eons and eons and eons before our time, eons before the Buddha of our time, our historical Buddha. And Sumedha was actually he made the vow to be, there's the whole story, he made the vow to become a Buddha. He made the vow to awaken, to a bodhisattva vow. And so it's said that Sumedha eventually awakened and became the Buddha that we know today over eons. And so he, on the Jataka tales and all of these different incarnations that he embodied, it took that many lifetimes, that many experiences, all of those lives, eons, in unfathomables, we can't even imagine, to develop and to perfect what we now call the paramis, the 10 paramis, so that he could awaken and become the Buddha. So all of these challenges, all of these experiences, so that he could awaken. And so gratitude for the blessings and the suffering, right? A part of our awakening, it's a part of our journey. So we've got to understand in this human life, it's a full package. Package is human life. And many things are occurring right now. Right now, where I live, it's bursting with spring. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the beauty. I think, I don't know if it's me or what's happening, it's more clear, I'm not sure, but the beauty is just absolutely astounding. I'm experiencing that, I'm experiencing connection, I'm experiencing quiet, there's a lot of internal quiet. There's also, I'm still dealing with my colleagues, I still have stressors, I still have work that I have to do, I still have, unpleasant experience. There's still all of what's happening on the planet. And this is all happening as a part of this human experience. Just as, and so we experience, jealousy, joy, love, greed, all of these things as humans. So just as with love, in order to experience love, we have to open to what comes with that. Sometimes it is sorrowful, sometimes it is painful. Just as with love, so this light is a full spectrum. So we tend to take our lives for granted, I think. And as if it were a right, as opposed to a rare gift that we are living. And this life, it's really delivering as promised, and yet we want it to be different, right? Very full of intense experience. So it's helpful to remember that this miracle that we're walking around in just requires that we're here for all of it. We're here for the whole show. I was reading Rumi, and there's a poem. It's the first time I came across it. It's called Two Ways to Run. I don't know if folks, you know, how many folks read Rumi. This is one of his more explicit poems, if you've experienced any of his more explicit writings. But in this poem, it's kind of a story. He talks about, it's basically a man who commits adultery on his wife and with her servant. And so he talks about two ways to run, where the servant girl at one point realizes that she's gonna have free time with you know, the husband. And so she runs, she's running to the house, she's running home to be with him, and her heart is just swooning, and it's full of gladness, and it's full of, you know, how when you're just, you can't wait to be with your beloved. And she's almost carried by the wind. And as the servant girl has left the wife, who's back at her bathhouse, the wife sort of realizes what's happening. And so she gets up and she runs. And she's also running to her beloved. She's running to the house in fear, in anger, whatever the emotions of passion that are arising for her. And so she's running in this sort of contracted state. And so two ways to run. How shall you run in this time, through this life? There's an urgency to life because it's finite, you know? We want the juice from every moment. So be here now. All things are impermanent. You know, and where are we on the precipice? We know that all things are impermanent. So humankind at some point will be no more, certainly. At least life as we know it certainly has gone through many iterations, many changes, and it will continue to do so. So where on the precipice are we? You know, are we 3/4 of the way down? Are we halfway down? Are we still on the ledge? Are we 2 millimeters from oblivion? We don't know. So we must embody this moment. We must, we're gonna give it everything we got. There may not be a return to normal, or there may be a new normal. So how can we fully embrace the wholeness and the sweetness and what life is here, what life is present for us? So we can live a life sort of entangled with fear and anxiety, and we can live a life with a quality of love and appreciation in our lives for whatever comes to us. And that is gratitude. That is gratitude. So our difficulties can be a resource for us. So starting there and cultivating equanimity in these times, we're just grateful for this life with all of its intensity, grateful to everyone and holding everyone in our hearts with compassion. I'm gonna leave you with a quote. This is a quote from Bishop Desmond Tutu. And this is from the book, The Nature of True Joy, that he did in collaboration with the Dalai Lama, which it's just a beautiful book if you have a chance to pick it up. And he says, "We are fragile creatures. And it is from this weakness, not despite it, that we discover the possibility of true joy. Life is filled with challenges and adversity. Fear is inevitable, as is pain and eventually death. Discovering more joy does not, I'm sorry to say, save us from the inevitability of hardship and heartbreak. In fact, we may cry more easily, but we will laugh more easily too. Perhaps we are just more alive. Yet as we discover more joy, we can face suffering in a way that enables rather than embitters. We have hardship without becoming hard. We have heartbreak without being broken. I will stop there. Thank you.